Hi there, and welcome to Letters from Quarantine, a brand new podcast talking to the indoor people, which is, well, most of us. I'm your host, Benji Potter, and through a series of phone calls, I'll be dialing up friends and family and finding out what happens when we're faced with our demons. Who and what do we miss most? And what do we take for granted? Stick with me, I've got you covered. My next guest is chef and founder of the cooking academy, Kumud Gandhi. She's been coined as the Spice Queen and has cooked for the great and good of our world. This is what happens when she gave me a buzz. Good afternoon.
Hello, how are you?
I'm very well. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, I can.
Wonderful.
Very well, thank you.
Good. Yes, I'm good. I'm good. What have you been up to today?
Oh, cooking some things for donations. A good friend of mine has just dropped off this amazing sourdough bread, which you'll see on Insta very shortly. And I've just been answering some emails and things. So, yes, had a busy day.
Quite busy. Which sort of camp have you kind of fallen into during quarantine? Have you fallen into the overproductive or underproductive camp? Or neither?
I'm going to say a little bit of both, because on some days I've just said time has stood still and... Yeah. It's just, you know, this is what it is. And this is a time to heal, a time to just take stock of everything that's happening and just for once in life, just kind of go, it's okay. Because normally life is crazy. Life is just really busy. So, and then on other days, and certainly at the beginning, it took me, to be perfectly honest, it took me at least the first 3 weeks to settle into lockdown, because I couldn't, there was a frantic activity of, oh my goodness, what are we going to do? Getting back to customers and assembling some sort of pattern that this is what our strategy is. And then having established that, deciding that, okay, so how are we going to be productive? And I felt an awful need to be productive and help and kind of think, oh my goodness, the ramifications of this is enormous. What role can I play to make this better for everyone? And so the idea of cooking for the NHS came up, and cooking for people that just, you know, struggled to cook, struggled to eat, and have access to good food.
So usually your business is focused on, physically teaching people cooking at the Cooking Academy. I suppose not having that day-to-day human contact, how has that been for you?
It's been a mixture of things. So it's been, this is a real kind of reality. There's four people in my household anyway, so it's not like I don't see anyone. And through observing all of the social distancing, I've had to interact with people taking deliveries and going to collect food from people who have donated food. So I have to say there hasn't been a period of isolation at all. So I haven't felt that isolation. I think that on balance, I've coped with it really well. I think underlying there's been this kind of, underlying anxiety that how are we going to react to this? What are we going to take away from this? Why is this happening? I don't seem to have simply accepted that it's a virus, it's come from wherever, and it happens. Of course it does happen, and I do accept that it has happened, but I'm trying to see that there must be some reason and there must be a purpose behind this and some good must come out of it, I'm thinking.
I agree with you. I think it's about what is the significance of this happening at this time, right?
around
kind of global warming crisis, around all these other things which we were aware of, but we weren't necessarily as a cohort, as a humanity, responding to. And then we're confronted with this one thing which we have to respond to or we die. And it's quite sobering, isn't it?
Mm. And I think one of the biggest impacts this has had is on the environment. So the benefit in terms of, you know, we've seen species that we haven't seen for such a long time coming out, because they're usually in hibernation. We've seen in Venice, we've seen fish in the sea, and this and the water is so much clearer than it has been in decades. In India, for example, from Delhi, you can actually see Mount Everest now, which you haven't seen in decades. So there's all kinds of things, and it's quite ironic that just a couple of months ago, just a little bit, you know, we were talking about Davos and whether, you know, and there would be any impact from the world leaders meeting to discuss global warming and whether anybody would take any notice of it. And all the efforts that was put into that, and, you know, Greta Thunberg and people like her who are such champions of the environment. No matter, when you think about, people said that, well, you know, world economies said that to try and put into force what you're asking us to do would be economically unviable.
Mm.
And yet here we are, it's taken this virus to do exactly that. And it's cost us 1,000 times more.
Yeah.
And we've done it, haven't we?
Yes.
And it's almost like our hand has been forced to do it.
Yeah, it is. It really is. Do you worry about how your business will cope after this?
I do. Being absolutely honest, I do. I do worry how quickly people will come back. Our business is split into two areas. One in the consumer area, where customers, people like you and me, come to learn to cook a new type of cuisine, or come to learn to cook, period, if you don't know how to cook. Mm. And they come and learn. And
oh, I've lost you. I lost you for a moment there, Kumud.
Sorry. So it's all about, you know, coming. It's a social thing for sure, but it's very much about learning. And then on the corporate side, we do a lot of work about teaching people to look after themselves in the corporate environment. So work-life balance can be very difficult. And in order to achieve that, how can we give you hints and tips on how to make that possible? And so we do a lot of that, and team building events where we get people cooking, people that have never cooked, people that have never cooked together or in a social environment.
I never knew that about your the other part of your business. It's quite interesting. I wanted to talk to you about food, and as someone whose life day to day is surrounded by food, you know, your business, your what you speak on, what you make, you know, it's more than most. What's it like to spectate everyone or a lot of people falling in love with food, and especially cooking?
It's my dream come true. It's my dream come true. I said at the top of all this when I started this, I want to teach the world to cook, and it seemed so glib and so coy and so unrealistic. And that's always been my mission. You know, when somebody tells me I don't cook, it's like an instant challenge to me to say, why don't it, to find out, to empathize, because, you know, you can't make everybody do something just because you love it doesn't mean they do. But there's always a backstory. There's always a reason why they don't. And sometimes it's because they've had a very poor understanding of food. They've had a poor relationship with food. And I personally like to get to the bottom of it because I've always been such a foodie. I can't even begin to imagine my life without food, not just from a practical point of view, but actually if I didn't talk about food or if I didn't enjoy it, because I think it is a very social thing to do. I think it's a very giving thing to do. We've got some cake at the moment, and my daughter's been busy baking, and all day I've been itching to, it's just kind of been on my list of things to do. I want to go and give it to the neighbours because one of them will be doing Ramadan fasting, so I'd like to give them a sweet treat. And then next door to me are a couple of doctors. One's a GP and an anaesthetist, and you know, they've been working really hard, and they've got some children. And so I want. So for me, cooking is about sharing. It's about other people, you know, kind of going, oh, that was really lovely, or how did you make that, or them inspiring them to make something, and getting them into it. It's about giving.
This is a subject that you and I sort of geek out on, I suppose. But there's something, for me, food is creativity. It's my creative outlet. I do enjoy painting and drawing, but you can't eat a drawing. you know, you can, but probably wouldn't be very nice. And with food, there's something both creative and productive and delicious. And I think actually with me, a lot of people say they learnt cooking from their parents. Well, during lockdown, I'm teaching my parents how to cook.
Brilliant.
And it requires a lot of patience. And now I know what it's like to be a parent. Right, we are at the part where I ask you about your lockdown essentials. So in Letters from Quarantine, essentials are not groceries. They are things which feed the mind, not the tummy. Well, one of them feeds the tummy, but the other two feed the mind. So they are what I deem essentials for your lockdown quarantine experience. So the first thing I'd like to ask you, Kumud, is what book would you like to bring into quarantine with you?
Okay, so I didn't, so it's Nelson Mandela's book when he was freed from his jail time when he had spent 30 years in prison. And I think the book is called, and for some reason it's just the name is now just off the top, it has just now left me, but it's a book to do with a road, a long journey. And Nelson Mandela is a hugely inspirational person to me. And I find that for someone to have had the capacity to forgive and to have a fresh new beginning and then take a country on a journey the way he did, was just phenomenal. And he writes so gracefully, and he is a very, very graceful man, or was a very, very graceful man. It's just his book moved me a lot, and I read it, you know, and I read it twice, because when I went back the second time, I understood even more. And there were sometimes bits that I wanted to go back and read again, because it resonated with me, and I wanted to understand how he put it all together. And it's such a big book that it would take you to be kind of quarantined to be able to get through it, you know.
So perfect time expanse. Just quickly, I googled it while you were answering the question. It's Long Walk to Freedom.
Yes, that's it.
I wanted to ask you, I forgot to ask you before, but I read on your website that you have in fact cooked for him. Is that right?
I have, yes. Yes, I have. in a cook-off. It was a celeb. It was a sorry, not it was a charity cook-off at the Intercontinental Hotel, and he was going to be well, he was staying there, and he has special dietary requirements. And on one particular evening of the banquet, they wanted a special diet, and I was asked to cook for him because of my background in food science.
Wow.
And I've taken part in a cook-off, a celebrity cook-off. And so I was, and it was all for charity and for his charity. And so I prepared his part of the meal for the banquet, which was a privilege and an honour. And for someone whom I had long admired, it was like I was serving him. You know, what a privilege.
And I have to ask, I saw on your Instagram when you posted your bargee picture, I never knew about this, even though we've spoken a few times on my radio show on Vibe, mostly about food and the NHS. You said, these are the bargees I cooked for Chris and Gwyneth. And I only know two people that are linked called Chris and Gwyneth. obviously, yeah. You probably can't say too much because they're quite well-known people, but you've cooked for them as well.
Yes, and it all came about quite by a recommendation, because I cooked for one of their friends, and Chris Martin is a big foodie and a big Indian, loves Indian food, and because they tasted my food somewhere else, they asked me to come and cook for them, and again, it was really it was really lovely. He is very much into food, and you know, he was my audience in the sense that, you know, I wanted to get it right for him because I know he's quite into his Indian food.
Wonderful. You can bring a record into quarantine to listen to. What would you like to bring?
Where the Streets Have No Name by U2.
I think I know that song. I'll have to play it later. You don't have to sing it for me right now.
and if you look for it, then look for the one on YouTube where they're actually recording the song, and they're doing it in a street in LA. And it's phenomenal. It's really phenomenal. But they're one of my all-time favourite bands, actually.
Do you listen to music when you cook?
I do, yes. And I find it really soothing. I mean, you'll find me dancing in the kitchen, and it just lifts my spirit so much. It's like when you're driving and, you know, you listen to music and your favorite music comes on, and you crank up the volume and you're really highly spirited, and you get to where you're going and you're in such a good mood because you kind of, you know, you've just been utterly lifted. And my children love music from the 70s and the 80s, and it's because they've listened, you know, they've been in the back of the car when they were kids.
I'm sure they know you too, like the back of their hand. And finally, and this is probably the most difficult question for you to answer as someone who is so invested and surrounded by cuisine. Which dish would you like to bring with you in lockdown? I have to add, and I always do add at this part, if it's ice cream, don't worry, it will be served to you freezing cold. And if it's a hot casserole, it will arrive steaming hot. So we'll take care of that.
Okay, so I think what would be my comfort, and I think it is comfort, because if you're in quarantine and, you know, it's that unsafe kind of time or place, then you want something that's comforting. And I would go for a Moroccan chickpea and sweet potato casserole medley. It's just got all the flavors from all over the world. It's tasty, it's nutritious, it just hits all of the spots, and it's simple to make. It's a one pot dish, and yeah, it ticks all of the boxes.
There's something that's so comforting about chickpeas. I don't know what it is, but it makes me feel warm and kind of toasty and nutty, you know.
It's a simple, it's just one of those simple ingredients that can almost slot into anywhere, in a salad or in a savoury dish, or even, you know, in, I use ground chickpea a lot in food to thicken food and to give it density and as a flour. So it has so many different purposes that it's highly underrated.
Well, we've reached the end of our Letters from Quarantine chat. It's now my duty to release you back into quarantine and
and, oh no.
And say thank you for joining me, and I shall speak to you soon.
Okay, thank you.
Bye-bye.
Take care.
You've been listening to Letters from Quarantine. If you enjoyed what you listened to, please remember to like, subscribe and share on iTunes. If you'd like to sponsor the podcast, please get in touch with me on Twitter @Benji's Banter. Andrex, I'm looking at you.